If you would take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 26. Today's Sunday, February the 20th, 2022. In these crazy days that we live in, four things, which I'll get to later, but four things that we can do. In Acts chapter 26, if you were here last week, this is one of the last verses that we looked at, but I wanted to start here this morning. And this is part of Paul before King Agrippa, and he was sharing with him what Jesus Christ commissioned him to do. Part of that is verse 18 of Acts 26, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open people's eyes, and how is he going to do that? How is he going to turn people from darkness to light? By preaching the light, by preaching God's word, by preaching the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. And that's what he was commissioned to do. To spread the light. Light does not get rid of evil. Physical light, as you know, gets rid of darkness. And I gave the silly illustration last week that if there's roaches in your kitchen and it's nighttime and you walk into the kitchen and turn the lights on, the roaches take off and go into hiding. The light doesn't get rid of them. It exposes them, lets you know they're there. No denying it. I have roaches. light dispels darkness. It exposes. It, like I said last week, pulls the curtain back. 1 John, I think this is probably familiar. 1 John chapter 1. So Paul's commission was to turn them from darkness to light, turn the lights on for them. And it's God's word that does that. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Part of God's very nature is light. Also says in this epistle, God is love. Part of his very nature is love. So God is light, and therefore his words would be what?
Light.
Light, absolutely. Psalm 119, it says that. Psalm 119. The longest psalm in the Bible. And we're going to verse 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. How valuable God's word is that gives us understanding. And if you back up just a bit to verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without that, you're walking or stumbling in darkness, right? But God's word lights our path, leads us, shows us where we can go. How valuable God's word is. And for a lot of people, they see no value in this book. It's an old fogey book. They wrote it hundreds of years ago. It's not relevant to today, but it is. It's very relevant for today. Look at John chapter 8. God's word is a light. God's word also gives us understanding. In John chapter 8, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says always did the will of the Father, and it says in John chapter 8, I know we're bouncing around a lot. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. Now, Jesus didn't glow, right? But he was the light of the world because he manifested God, who is light. He manifested the greatness of God by speaking God's word and bringing light to a very dark world. In his day and time, it was very dark days. Israel was occupied by the Romans. So, you know, you go to the store and there's Roman soldiers here, Roman soldiers there, but they were under the thumb of Rome, and the Roman Empire was powerful, cruel, so cruel they could order soldiers to go to a little village and kill all the baby boys 2 years and under. That's the type of government they had. Go wipe them out. I'm sure you're familiar with John the Baptist, who criticized King Herod, and he was arrested, thrown in prison, and then later executed, beheaded. That is the kind of political climate in Jesus Christ's day. The religious environment was no better. It was very corrupted. Jesus Christ at one point told the religious leaders that the traditions they were teaching God's people, teaching that they were contrary to what God's word said. And those were the very people that were supposed to be teaching people the light of God's word. And they were teaching traditions that were contrary to God's word. At one point, Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees that they acted so holy and religious so that they could steal and cheat widows. In the biblical culture, when a woman became a widow, the scribes or the Pharisees would go and help take care of her finances. Because in the Bible culture, you know, it was different than our culture. And so Jesus Christ said, yeah, you give all these long prayers, you look all religious, and they were basically stealing from them. These are the people that were supposed to be representing the one true God and giving people the light of God's word. So that's the days, the environment that Jesus Christ walked the earth. Very dark. And there were a few times, not many, a few times. And most of those times were when the religious leaders came directly at Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ pushed back and confronted the practices of the religious leaders. You know, like when they said, well, by what authority are you doing this? You know, and he stood his ground and said this, said that. I think we looked at it a few weeks ago. Your disciples are breaking the traditions. They're not washing their hands. He pushed back and confronted them. So there were a few times, but Jesus Christ mainly and mostly spoke about far greater issues than the political and religious climate of his day. And I think one of the best examples I know, look at Mark chapter 1, if you would. Mark chapter 1. And in verse 14, it says, now, after that John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So John gets thrown in prison. John, of course, is Jesus' cousin. John is a prophet, first prophet since Malachi. Wonderful, great man of God, thrown in prison unjustly. And Jesus came into Galilee, it says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He didn't come preaching the unjust imprisoning of John the Baptist. He didn't go into Galilee and go, now, you see how bad these Romans are? Look what they're doing now. If you haven't seen it on the news, I'll tell you. John got thrown in prison. He didn't preach how cruel and oppressive the Romans were. He didn't preach how spiritually weak the religious leaders were of his day and time. What did he do? It says he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He went about doing something that's far more important than the political or religious issues of his day. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and bringing deliverance to people. Not going to bring much deliverance if you go and preach how bad Herod was for arresting Jesus. Yeah, I heard that too. I saw that on the news. You know, I went on my news app and there it was, John in prison. I thought, what the hell's going on here? And you know what else? Jesus Christ sent the 12 out to preach the gospel and bring deliverance, and they did. He sent the 70 out to preach the gospel and bring deliverance, and they did. So how about us? We could preach the gospel, right? The word gospel means good news. That's what it literally means, good news. Yeah, good news. We hear a lot of bad news, don't we? But we could choose to speak the good news instead of the bad news. We could speak the gospel instead of the gossip. Right? We could. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You don't even have to be a Christian to know there's evil in the world, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. There's a lot of things going on in the world. It's nothing new. But Scripture, the light of God's Word, gives us insight. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, let's not get discouraged. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the good news concerning Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? And then, you know, people say, well, why is there so much crap going on? Why is there so much darkness? Why is there so much evil? How can this continue? What is going on? And the reason there is so much going on is because our adversary is doing his job. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's doing his job. The rulers of the darkness of this world that you read about in Ephesians 6, the rulers of the darkness of this world are doing their job. Darkness. And so for us, instead of getting immersed and focusing on all the darkness, all the bad news, instead of getting depressed with all the gloom and doom, instead of getting disgusted and discouraged, let's do our job, what God's word says. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Not too far away here. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, he's doing his job. Big surprise. In Philippians chapter 2, after this section about the Lord Jesus Christ that you can review sometime, we're going to start in verse 12 of Philippians 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, or reverence and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Wait a minute, I thought we were saved by grace, not of works. Yes, we're saved by grace, not of works. The word salvation means deliverance, and in the scriptures there are different kinds of deliverance. The salvation we get in the new birth, being saved, is not of works. The deliverance Paul is referring to in this section of God's Word is deliverance from the evils of this world, the crap going on, the trials we face, persecutions, could be this, could be that. Work out your deliverance with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Putting our trust in God who works in us in the situations that we're faced with, in the trials that we have to endure at times. It's God who is at work within you to will and do of his good pleasure. And the next verse says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, what things? Well, when you have to mow the lawn in February here in Arizona, do all things without murmurings. It's not talking about that. Context. God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things that God is working within you without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of God. And literally that's holding onto the word of God, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding on to the word of life. Holding on to it. We can't shine as lights if we're immersed and focused on all the bad news going on. We can't shine as lights. We'll be depressed. We'll be discouraged. We'll be fed up. We'll be angry. You know, all of those things. You can't shine as a light. That's why Colossians, next book over, Colossians 3. I know you're familiar with this verse. Part of the renewed mind, part of putting on the new man. Verse 16 of Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. And Philippians said, holding on to the word. And you know, that word richly means abundantly. Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you abundantly. That takes a little time and effort, doesn't it? Sure it does. A steady diet of God's word. A steady diet of the word of God that pertains to, you know, Christ, the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. Some people are immersed in a steady diet of the bad news and letting that dwell in them richly. And as a result, they're miserable. People are absolutely miserable. Now, on the other hand, of course Jesus Christ knew that John was imprisoned unjustly. Of course he knew that, right? Of course he was well aware of the cruelty of Rome. Of course he was well aware of the ungodly practices from the religious leaders of his day. Of course he knew what was going on. But what did he do? He preached the good news, the light of God's word. Remember what we read a little while ago in Psalm 119? The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So we can preach God's word to help people and give them understanding. You know, for example, a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts about what happens when you die. You go to heaven, you go to hell, you go to purgatory, you come back as a buffalo, just all kinds of different things. But the light of God's word gives people understanding that if you are born again of God's Spirit, when people die, they are asleep until Jesus Christ comes back. And when he does, we are all gathered together to meet him in the clouds. That's the light of God's word. That's the truth of God's word. And that gives people, you know, understanding. Or people, there are people living in guilt and shame and condemnation for things they've done in the past. But the light of God's word, the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, is that he paid the price for all of our sins, and that God has forgiven you of all your sins, all your trespasses. That gives people understanding, right? A lot of topics, right? You know, God could never love me. Well, if you're a born-again one, nothing can separate you from God's love, period. So go to Matthew chapter 5. The truth sets people free. The light of God's word pulls the curtain back from all the misunderstanding and work of the adversary and all this stuff. Matthew 5, verse 13. Jesus Christ said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world." Isn't that awesome? Because we read a verse earlier where Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world," and he was. And he completed the Father's work. He died, God raised him from the dead, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And so now we're hopeless and helpless because he's gone. No. We are born again ones with the Spirit of God in us, and Jesus Christ has really commissioned all of us that are born again. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And then he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back for being such a wonderful person." No. "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We let our light shine so we can bring people to God, so that they can see the light of God's word, the deliverance that God makes available for us. We are the light of the world. So in our day and time, what can we do? Well, four things. We can do what Jesus did. If you'll turn to Romans 13, we'll get there in a minute. That's where we're going to close out, but Romans 13, four things that we can do. First of all, number one is pray. And Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. Jesus Christ taught a lot about prayer, taught them how to pray. Remember, they said, "Teach us how to pray." He encouraged people to pray, and he himself was a man of prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. One time he spent all night, it says, in prayer. So we can follow his example and we can pray. And remember, Jesus Christ said we should pray and not faint. In other words, you keep at it. And since we're born again ones, we can pray with our understanding and pray by way of the Spirit. So we can pray and ask God to help us personally with whatever it is we're dealing with. God is at work within us to will and do of his good pleasure. God can is a his word is a lamp and a lamp and a light unto our path, that God can teach us. And we pray, "God, show me what I need to do," whatever the situation may be. We pray and ask God to help us personally. We pray for others. Read John 17. Jesus Christ prayed for everybody who was going to get born again the night he was arrested. He prayed that. So we can pray for others. And we read in God's word where it says to pray for open doors to speak God's word. Pray that the word of God could have free course. Paul said, "Pray for me that I could speak the mystery freely." And also in God's word, we know we could pray for those who are in authority, that they make the right decisions. If they don't, somebody else get in there and make the right decisions. But we can pray. That's number one. And our culture provides so many distractions. And yet, as we see things going on around us, the times we're living in, how can we not make time to pray more? as opposed to, let me see what's going on now. Oh, can't believe it. Now I got to call somebody. Did you hear what happened now? Maybe we could call somebody up and go, would you like to hear what I just read? Man, this is a great verse. Well, that'd be a different phone call, wouldn't it? So number one, pray. Number two, preach the good news instead of the nightly news. You know, and we saw in the dark days that Jesus Christ lived, that's what he did. He preached the gospel, the good news. He sent the 12 out to do that. He sent the 70 out to do that. He said, we are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And we let our light shine. Number three, manifest the love of God. And Jesus Christ certainly manifested the love of God. Boy, when you look at some of those records of the Last Supper, if I knew they were about to arrest me, I don't think I'd want to be being so loving and kind. I'd be like, but here in Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's another place where it says all the law is fulfilled in one word, love. Love. We can love people. And there is so much hate, so much bitterness, so much anger, so much resentment, so much finger pointing going on in our world today. When we manifest the love of God, we kind of stick out like a sore thumb. We were kind of like a 300-watt light bulb going off. It's the love of God. The love of God. We can manifest that love. Verse 11, we'll keep reading here. And that knowing the time that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night's far spent, the day's at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We pray, we preach the gospel, we love, and verse 14, we manifest the Spirit of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of God when we're born again. We have it. It's there. We all get it. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the Spirit of God. So now, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means we manifest the Spirit of God that's in us. We operate manifestations. We speak in tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He did that a lot, didn't he? Well, we can too. That's something we can do. Oh, I don't know what to do. It's so crazy out there. Well, how about just pray, preach the word, love people, and manifest the Spirit, speak in tongues. God, is there somebody I can pray for? Is there somebody I can help or bless? You know, that's why I was saying, you know, you it's real easy these days, especially the technology that we have right now. I mean, you could just, within 3 seconds, you can be on a news place. What's going on now? And there's so much going on, but if we get immersed and so focused in that, we're going to be miserable. We're not going to be blessed. So in the days that we live in, we can do what we see Jesus Christ, what he did in his dark days that he lived. And I don't think our days are darker than the days he lived in. Would you like to be living there in Israel with Roman soldiers there that could just go take him out? You know, when you think about it, in Jerusalem, it was common to have public executions, to have people hanging there, nailed to the tree or the cross or the beam. It's a lovely sight on the way to the Fry's supermarket, right? Somebody got crucified again. Oh, how horrid that would be. I mean, I can't even imagine to see something like that. That's the times he lived in, along with the religious leaders that were just so far gone. So I wouldn't want to trade. I mean, the times he lived in were very bad. So we can follow his example. So we can do what Jesus Christ did. We can pray. pray, we can preach the good news concerning Jesus Christ, and we can manifest God's love and manifest the Spirit. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's pray. Our Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Father, thank you for your word that gives us solid direction, that brings light, that, Father, just helps to dispel darkness so we can see truth. Thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the great example that he was. And, Father, we're so thankful for the great results of his completing your plan of salvation and redemption, that we truly could be yours, your children, belonging to you, having the Spirit of God in us with all the rights and privileges and abilities that you said we have. And Father, with the great hope that we have to look forward to, that your word says that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Father, we have a great hope to look forward to, and until then, we look to you to help us in all of our situations. And Father, we pray that you would give us, each one of us, open doors to speak the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.